Amen. Father God, we just praise you, glorify you, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Thank you, Lord, that you are part of us. You are the biggest part of us, and we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can depend upon you to fulfill your promises for us, and Lord, that we are following you and you're leading, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you're going to get rid of all of these deep state people. We praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection upon us and our families. And not only that, Lord, all of your elect. And I thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for the times that are coming up ahead, the great revival that's seems to me like it's fixing to start. And we praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to accomplish tonight. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for returning Jennifer's dogs to her. In Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, that if those dogs are on the way back home now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else got a prayer request? Hey, Andrew. Hey, Matthew. Pat. Already said hi to Ben, Missy, and Julie. All right, has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Julie.
Father, I thank you for our president, the administration, and
Amen.
the alliance and special operations and everything that you're doing through them. I thank you and praise you, Lord, for the work you're doing through them to bring down our enemies, foreign and
Amen.
domestic. Thank you, Lord, for ICE and our military who are enforcing ICE and backing them up. I thank you, Lord, for restoring order, justice, and order in this country the way you want it done, and exposing the criminals, exposing the unrighteousness, and all the people who are behind all of this. This wickedness has been going on in our country and globally, Lord. Thank you for draining the swamp. I just praise you, God. I thank you for protecting all of these people that are doing your work here, Lord, on the side of righteousness and justice to do the right thing. I thank you, God, and I thank you that the angels are going forth and doing the commands as we speak and speak to them and command them and praying in the spirit, and that we continue to do this, Lord, and watch you work and see how you manifest these things, and that we're going to see the fruit of that, Lord, and keep us all diligent, keep us all girded up in the truth, and using the weapons, Lord. Thank you, Father. We want to glorify our Father in heaven. We want to be used for your glory. We want to be humble vessels of your righteousness, Lord, in whom you move through. Thank you, God, for protecting us in these days of uncertainty and all the things that are happening in the world right now, and the disinformation, the civil unrest, the anarchy, the rebellion, the lawlessness. I thank you, God, for helping us, Lord, to be diligent and to be sober and watchful in our prayers for these things that we're in right now. I also pray, Father, for the people that are in harm's way with Hurricane Melissa, which is not a normal storm, not a normal hurricane. I thank you, Lord, in your mercy and grace for saving people alive.
Amen.
And even dismantling this hurricane and
Okay.
bringing it down from a Category 5 to something less, that not do near the damage is what they're projecting it, and everything in that path of that hurricane as it makes its way across the Atlantic. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, one more thing. Lord, I know that they're messing with our weather out here too on the West Coast, at least Southwest, and they've increased the They're going up and down with the weather forecast, with the temperatures, and it's back up. So I thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority over this, and we bind these weather manipulation command this to cease in the name of Jesus, that it's not going to get in the 90s in the next couple of days. And I cast down all of their acts of destruction and violence, any arson that they have planned, and any of that kind of thing, lawlessness, I bind that and command that to fail in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to have normal temperatures here for October to November, and that the enemy is defeated already. Thank you for restoring everything, God, and turning things around for your name's sake, because of your mercy, God. We don't deserve it, but I thank you, Lord, for all your goodness towards us, Lord, and all that you've been teaching us and training us to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, you can turn it over here. Bring that 90-degree weather over to to Tennessee. That'd be awesome. Thank you, Father. And Matthew said, Amen. Go ahead, Ben.
I got two sort of prayer requests.
All
I'm
right.
gonna bring up the more important one first. I've been looking at a lot of videos and a lot of news about a lot of our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. They're getting completely massacred around there by a bunch of radical Muslims and whoever else is out there that wants this death upon our brothers and sisters. I'm also looking that the pastor over there, he's doing multiple funerals every day because of the amount of killings that are happening. And he's calling out, well, he's praying to God and he's calling out to help for him, but he's calling out to the world as well. Just like, come and help us, you know, United Nations, like, where are you? Like, why are we not hearing about this anywhere? And no one's helping them. And so I just want to lift up my brothers and sisters in
Amen.
Nigeria with my Lord Father God. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria. These are very powerful and spiritual people of God. They show their joy very well. But Father God, there's enemies that are coming against them. Lord Father God, I just pray a divine protection over all the households, over all the buildings that these people are dwelling in, all the churches that have been burnt down, Father. I pray that you either build them back up or you give them a better building so that they can be better protected, so that they can come together in fellowship and feel safe doing it, Father. Lord Father God, I rebuke all these works of these radicalists that are coming against them. Lord Father God, I just pray for the peace and pray for the innocent, because I know you're a just God, and I know that all of this mindless killing is of the devil. Lord Father God, we thank you for doing what you're doing, because we know all things come to the good pleasure for your plan, Father. But Lord Father God, I know that there's no room for the destruction that's happening to these innocent people. And I rebuke all works of that dirty cult that's been killing my family. Lord Father God, I just pray that they get stupid spirits or something and they lose all their plans, they lose all their weapons, and that those that are called, Father, that are in that cult, I just pray that you wake them up and you shake them up and you bring them to repentance, and that they can be a testimony to you, Father. Lord Father God, I know that you are in control. Thank you again, Father, for saving my brothers and sisters. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Lord, I thank you for throwing confusion in amongst the enemy's camp over there to just scatter them to the four ends of
Amen.
the earth in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you send your angels over there to get rid of the leadership that's doing this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. And Lord, we thank you for protection. You're in Psalms 91 protection on every
Amen.
elect over there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Julie.
Lord, I just want to add to that too. Father, I pray for your grace and your mercy on our brethren, that you keep them all strong in the faith as they trust you, God, for deliverance, and that people's lives will be changed because they see the witness of the love of Christ in each and one of these brethren, that they don't fight back and try to defend themselves, that you will use this, Lord, that they are not, that their lives and their faith are not in vain, and they are being persecuted, Lord, and you tell us we are to remember our brothers who are being persecuted around the world, God. They are being martyred for your name's sake, God, that they if their reward is great. So keep
Praise you
our brethren
for
all strong, Lord, in the faith. Give them unity. Give them encouragement.
that.
Give them in. Give them if they're not all baptized in the Holy
Praise
Spirit,
you
Lord, I
for
pray for that anointing to fall upon them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the angels to deliver them out of harm's way supernaturally. Miracles to manifest, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit to manifest there, the signs and wonders to manifest in Jesus' holy and blessed name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Anybody else?
Oh, I had something else that I kind of wanted to throw out
All right.
there. It's a little bit more personal, so that's why I saved it for last. I wanted to make sure that that was said. And I know the climate that we're in right now, and I know the times that we're in right now, and it's kind of been pertinent on my mind as to what to do. So I'm getting not well, I'm not getting kicked out of this place, but like my landlord, my ex-boss is saying I got to be out by December 1st. And he told me that in September. And I was trying to get a new job and all that. So for the time being, I won't be able to find a place in what is it, a month almost. So I'm going to be living with my dad for however long it's going to for however long it's going to take for me to find a new place. And obviously I'm taking Karen's opinion into account because we've been together for a couple of years now, and it's just kind of like, well, what are we doing? And I told her, I said, well, I at least want you to have some say in what's I don't want to just drag her around. I intend to marry her soon, or at least propose very soon. So there's that news. And we've been looking to go rent a place, and I don't know what the climate for the renting prices is down there, but up here it is terrible. And my dad can attest to this. It's absolutely terrible. It's almost $2,600, $2,500 a month just to rent half a house. And I feasibly, like, I can't do that. And I can't even think of leading a household and being a one income household. But again, I have been blessed with, and when I say this, it's not like an engorgeous amount of money. I'm not going to be living like a king, but it is a very significant down payment for a home. And on top of what I've talked to you about before, Michael. And so with that, it's the only feasible thing I can actually pay less money than I can now with already my very cheap rent that I pay. And with that, I can have an option to have Karen stay home with, the eventual. Ch And I know the times we're in, and I know that we're not necessarily in a time to be distracted. And I don't see it necessarily as a distraction. I see it as an opportunity. I see it as a way of living for God and living with Karen doing that. And obviously you can tell by the way that I'm talking, I'm a little taken aback. I've been looking at houses, some very nice, some good houses that I like. We're in talks of with a mortgage advisor and all that. And yeah, so I would just like prayer that I wouldn't. How do I word it? I wouldn't let this decision distract me from what's coming and what's important. It all kind of happened pretty quick because I just realized, like, oh yeah, I gotta find a place to live, and Well, I don't want to go rent anywhere. And if I find another one bedroom apartment, then Karen's going to be like, okay, like what's going on? And so I do want to marry her. And I've always wanted to have my own home and everything. Yeah, so I'd like some prayer on that.
Okay. All right. Well, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you've already heard his request, and I ask that you lead him and guide him in the way that you want him to go. And Lord, I ask and I pray that whatever it is, it'd be your decision and not his. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Lord, that you have opened up his ears, his spiritual ears, to hear your voice clearly. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit that is in him will guide him right to the right house, whether it be there, here, or wherever. And I thank you for it, Father, and I thank you for all that you're doing in Ben's life right now. In Jesus' name, you've already got it picked out for him, and I thank you, Father, that you're going to lead him over to it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Y'all believe that? I do. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. All right, Julie, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that Ben's got a place to stay. Thank you that the time he's going to have there with his roommate, his dad, that they're going to have some really awesome times together, and that you will bless that time together and anoint it. That you will give Ben your wisdom, discernment, direction, and leading, and that he not be in a hurry or rash to make, be in haste. He said, not be in haste about these things. And I thank you, Lord, for a surrendered heart that Ben has for you, and he wants to put you first. I bless him in the name of Jesus, and I thank you, Lord, for opening up the door in the right timing for all these things that's on his heart, Lord. And your word says in Psalm 37:4 that when we delight ourselves in the Lord, that he will give us the desires of our heart. And I thank you, Lord, that that's what you're putting in Ben, is to really delight himself in being with you, seeking you first in your kingdom, and that you'll make his plans known unto him, and the timing and everything will open up the way it's supposed to according to your will. Because that's what we want, Lord, your will, not our own, in our own lives, Father. And I thank you. I pray blessings on Ben and Karen and their lives. And I thank you, God, for bring in light where there needs to be light, Lord, because we are led by your spirit, and the truth is light. And humility and just wanting to be totally surrendered to you, Lord, and not putting our wills first, what we think we want. You know best, Lord. Praise God. Can't get any better than that. We want your very best for each one of us. In Jesus' name, because we're your sons and daughters. Amen. God bless you, Ben.
Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, anyone else? All right, I got a good song for y'all. Matter of fact, Julie sent it to me, so I'm gonna play that one because I like it. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Let's see here. Let's see here.
I sent you a song.
Yeah.
Thank you. what you're gonna say. I know the truth, I know the way. You think you're a liar, but I call a spade, you're just a kitten running up. Come on! Is the lion that cannot be tamed.
Hallelujah.
That's a good one. I like that song. Let me get off the net here. Okay, I'm off. All right. Anybody else got anything? I'll tell you what I got. How many of you want to be fully encouraged tonight? Okay.
Amen.
I guess that means yeah. Amen. Okay. How can I introduce this other than this? I was asked actually. I was asked actually to do this tonight, so I believe it will bless you and build your faith up and build the power of God in you. And I'm going to, it's called Declare the Power of the Holy Spirit in You. The moment you were born again, a divine miracle took place. You were not merely forgiven, you were made new. The very life and nature of God were imparted into your spirit. Y'all listen carefully now. You became a new creation, a recreated being with the very life of the risen Christ flowing in you. And with that new birth came the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not as a gift, but as a permanent resident when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the power and all the tools that you need are right in the Holy Spirit. You're not an ordinary man or a woman anymore. You are God indwelt. The Spirit of the living God has made his home in you. He didn't come to visit, he came to abide. He came to empower, to guide, and to manifest the very works of Jesus through your life. And too often, believers walk as mere men, unaware of this treasure that they have within them. But the Word declares this in 1 John 4 and 4, and every one of you knows this verse: greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The moment a person is born again, a divine exchange takes place, and it's more than just the forgiveness of sins. It's the beginning of a new kind of life, a spiritual rebirth that brings God Himself to dwell within the believer. And this truth is not symbolic or poetic, it is a literal reality. And the Holy Spirit, which is the third, they're calling it the third person of the God, it's part of the Godhead, makes his home in the human spirit. You're no longer just a natural man or a woman. You become God indwelt. Think about that. That is the miracle of the new creation. And there's far too many believers live as though God is far away, somewhere in the heavens, and they have to struggle to get his attention. They pray long prayers, pretty prayers, and they cry, they fast, they think in these efforts will bring God closer. But I'm here to tell you, God's not a distant deity. He came near, so near, in fact, that he made your spirit his dwelling place. When Jesus declared that he wouldn't leave us as orphans, he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He meant that every child of God will become a vessel filled with his divine presence. This indwelling presence is not based on feelings, emotions, or even performance. It's based on the finished work of Christ and the integrity of God's Word. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, just as the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament carried the tangible presence of God. Now your inner man is the holy place where the Spirit resides. And the presence of God does not come and go like a breeze. He doesn't leave when you make a mistake and return when you're perfect. He's faithful. He abides. He remains. The Spirit of God has taken up permanent residence in you. And he doesn't depart at the first sign of weakness. Instead, he's your helper in weakness. This indwelling power is the foundation of a victorious living. And when you understand that you are God indwelt, fear loses its grip, inferiority vanishes, and doubt is silenced, and you begin to walk with confidence, not confidence in the flesh, but in the divine presence within you. And you no longer look outward for strength because the source of all power lies inside you. All power lies inside of us. And this changes the way you face every challenge. You're not crying out to heaven for help as one in a lack. What you're doing is you're drawing from the well of life already inside your spirit. Religious tradition has often robbed believers of this reality. It's taught people to think small of themselves and to approach God as beggars rather than as sons and daughters. But the truth is, God has already come to you. He lives in you. You are his home, his temple, his dwelling place. And he has clothed himself with your humanity to manifest his divinity. And you don't have to feel anything to know this. It's true whether you feel it or not. It's true on your best day, and it's true on your worst day. The spirit within is not moved by circumstances. He's unchanging, ever present, and always available. And when this truth becomes alive in your spirit, everything changes. You no longer live from outside in, but from the inside out, because the greater one lives in you. The same spirit that hovered over the face of the deep in creation, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, now dwells in your heart. And this is not a second great power or a portion of God. It is the fullness of God's Spirit residing in you. He is your comforter, your counselor, your strengthener, and your standby. And you're never without help. And you're never without wisdom. You are never alone. And to be God indwelt is to live in a continual state of divine possibility. The supernatural becomes natural. The impossible becomes expected. And you carry within you the power to overcome, to create, to heal, to speak life, and to walk in dominion. The world might not see it, your feeling may not always reflect it, but the truth remains. The Spirit of God lives in you. That is your identity. That is your reality. That is your power. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is not a distant force locked away in heaven. It's not a special anointing reserved for prophets or apostles. That power, that very power that conquered death, stripped the enemy of authority, shattered the chains of sin, and resurrected the Son of God, is now living in you. And this is not just a theological statement or a verse to be quoted. It is a reality that demands to be embraced, believed, and acted upon. When Christ was raised from the dead, it was not merely a historical event. It was a divine demonstration of God's supreme power. Hell couldn't hold him. Sin couldn't stain him. And death couldn't keep him. That resurrection was the most powerful display the universe had ever seen. And Scripture boldly declares in Romans 8 and 11 that this very same spirit, the spirit of resurrection, now dwells in your mortal body. The believer does not possess a lesser version or diluted measure of the Spirit. The exact Spirit who raised Jesus out of the grave has now made his home in you. What does that mean for your life? It means there is no situation so dark, no bondage so strong, no obstacle so impossible that it cannot be overcome by the power within you. Resurrection power is not passive. It's explosive, dynamic, and unstoppable. It raises the dead, heals the sick, it restores what's broken, and brings light to the deepest shadows. This power is not waiting to be earned. It is already present, already active, already available to every child of God who dares to believe. And there's too many Christians live as though they are powerless, begging God to send something he has already given. They cry for strength, unaware that strength lives within them. They plead for deliverance, not knowing that the deliverer has taken up residence in their spirit. They wait for revival when revival power is already inside them. And this is not about asking. It's about awakening. It's about recognizing what is yours and what has already been done and who now lives in you. You don't need to chase the supernatural. You are a carrier of the supernatural. Wherever you go, resurrection life goes. Glory to God. When you speak resurrection power, when you speak, resurrection power is in your words. When you lay hands on a sick, resurrection power flows through your touch. You're not empty. You're not lacking. You're not weak. You're filled with the same spirit that pulled Christ out of the tomb and seated him at the right hand of his Father. Glory be to God. This power is not just for church services or emotional moments. It's for daily living. It's for facing temptation, for standing in the face of fear, for confronting the lies of the enemy, because the power in you is greater than the power in the world. You don't need to run from difficulties. You're equipped to dominate it. And when you realize that resurrection power lives in you, it changes how you pray, how you speak, and how you walk through life. You stop waiting for something to happen. You start releasing what is already within you. This power has no expiration date, no limitations, and no restrictions. It don't run dry when life gets hard. It doesn't leave when you make a mistake. It remains, it abides, and it empowers. It's not activated by effort, but by faith. The moment you believe and speak, the power moves. It's not about how you feel. It's about what God has declared. He said the spirit that raised Jesus lives in you, and that settles it. When you align your mind with this truth and speak it out of your mouth, you begin to experience a life that is not ordinary. The impossible becomes possible. The hopeless becomes hopeful. And the defeated become more than conquerors. Not because of who you are in the flesh, but because who lives in you. Glory to God. The spirit of resurrection, the power of the living God. The Holy Spirit is not a silent presence inside you. He is the active voice of God within. He's your personal guide and divine teacher. When Jesus walked the earth, his disciples followed him, listened to him, asked him questions, and learned from his example. But when he prepared to return to the Father, he promised that he wouldn't leave them comfortless. He would send the Holy Spirit, who would take his place. Not just beside them, but within them. And that same promise is fulfilled in every believer that wants it. The Holy Spirit has come to dwell in you, to reveal truth, to guide your steps, and to empower you to live in victory. Because you were never designed to figure out life on your own. The Holy Spirit is your guide, not just in spiritual matters, but in everyday decisions, challenges, and relationships. He leads you with the wisdom that transcends human understanding. And I'll add, he never makes a mistake either. While the world relies on education, experience, and logic alone, the believer has a divine advantage, a supernatural guide living within. He speaks to your spirit. He prompts you with impressions, peace, and clarity. He brings scriptures to your remembrance at just the right moment. He corrects gently, never condemning, but always drawing you closer to the truth. And when you listen to the Spirit, you are listening to the mind of God. He doesn't lead you into confusion. He doesn't produce fear or doubt. He leads with peace, with purpose, and with unwavering accuracy. If somebody has a question anytime, just raise your hand and I'll stop and let you ask the question or comment, either one. Many believers miss his guidance because they're looking for a loud voice or a dramatic sign. But you have to know the Spirit leads in stillness. He speaks to the inner man, not through the chaos of emotions, but through the calm of spiritual knowing. The Holy Spirit also reveals who you truly are in Christ. And without his revelation, the word remains mere information. It's the Spirit who illuminates the word, causing it to come alive inside of you. He opens your eyes to see the reality of redemption, the authority of the believer, the righteousness you have in Christ, and the victory that already belongs to you. He shows you not just who Jesus is, but who you are because of Jesus. He reveals your sonship, your inheritance, and your position in the kingdom. He uncovers truth that no man can teach and makes it real in your experience. He's not only a revealer of truth, but also your daily companion. And when you walk with him, you walk in power. You don't have to strive to be strong. The Spirit gives you strength. You don't have to wonder what to say. The Spirit will give you the words. You don't have to carry your burdens alone. The Spirit is your helper. He is with you in the quiet moments of prayer and in the storms of life. He is with you when no one else understands, when the pressure is heavy, and when the path seems uncertain. The Holy Spirit is your advantage. He's the one who transforms ordinary believers into extraordinary people of purpose. He empowers you to rise above temptation, to love when it's hard, to forgive when it hurts, and to stand firm when everything around you shakes. He teaches you how to live the life Jesus died to give you. Not a life to defeat and struggle, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. And to walk in step with the Spirit is to walk in alignment with heaven. You were never meant to live by your own strength or intellect. I'm going to stop there for a minute and see if anybody's got any comments. Anybody got any comment? Yeah, Julie.
There's a lot there, Michael.
Yeah.
I think you said it. I think you read it twice. Where we're not meant to figure this all out by ourselves in this life. You know that we're not made to do that. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. And the scripture that was coming to my mind when you read that, and then what you just read about is Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and not rely on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. And so yeah, we're not meant to try to figure it out. And that's something the Lord's been helping me do too. I've always had to try to figure everything out for myself, you know, and make my own decisions and all that kind of stuff. So He's my Father. He'll help me make these decisions and He'll show me the way. And there's been a lot of waiting, you know, waiting and waiting. and learning to trust and just learning to rest and not be anxious for tomorrow. And he keeps reminding me that he loves me. He's not going to fail me. And just really learning to trust him and rest. And he's going to do it all. He's going to do it all. He's going to show me. He's the one. He's the God who wants to work for us, for me. He wants to work for me. There's no God like that. It's like we don't earn our way, and we can't figure it out. He's the only wise God. Jesus is the wisdom of God, and he knows everything about everything. He has all our days planned. So if we're seeking him for answers, he'll show us. And if we don't hear from him right away, we just got to wait. There's a lot of scriptures about waiting on the Lord, right? And that's where our strength is supposed to come from too, as we wait and trust him, that our faith becomes stronger as we learn to just not try to make something happen. It's like, well, if I'm not hearing anything from the Lord, I got to do something. So you've been there. So anyway, thank you, Michael. There's a lot there you've been sharing. It's a lot to think on. It's a good one to meditate on.
Yep. All right, Ben.
So what's interesting, usually my daily routine at lunch, I usually read a proverb of the day, but the Lord put it upon me to read through John 17. And I think that that chapter fits what you're talking about just perfectly. And really gets you thinking about, the expectation that we have, or the expectation of what should happen through us, or believing what should happen through us. In chapter 17 here, verse 18, even as thou didst send me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for them I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in the truth. And not for these only do I ask, but for them also that believe unto me through their word, that all be one, even as thou, Father, in me, and I in thee, that they also be in us, that the world believe that thou didst send me. So we need to be an example. And I have given them the glory which thou hast given me, the glory which is the shining of Jesus Christ that was given to us, that they be one, even as we are one. He's really emphasizing that it's not just Jesus within us, but it's also the Father within us. With that, I in them, and thou in me, that they be perfected into one, that the world know that thou didst send me and lovest them even as thou lovest me. It's the same love that the Father had for Jesus, he has for us. And the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Father, what thou hast given me, I desire that where I am, they also be with me, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, because thou lovest me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world also knew thee not, but I knew thee, and these knew that thou didst send me. I made known to them thy name, and will make it known that the love wherewith thou lovest me be in them, and I in them. So, I don't know. There's this phrase that kept on coming into my head, like, do you feel the responsibility yet? I don't know. Like, this whole thinking of those who know him, they shall walk as he walked in this world. And so makes you feel like you're not doing enough, but that's really not how you should be feeling, because we've all been there. I was there today. And we are God's workmanship, and it's God in us. His love is in us. And anyways, I think I'm getting off track a little bit, but it gets you really thinking, like, who you are. You shouldn't necessarily feel urged. I think encouraged is a better word. You are seated in heavenly places, and you can partake of this overcoming nature in this world right now. And God loves it when you do that. And so it's not necessarily a do it or else, but it's a privilege to be able to work for the Creator God. And He gives you that. And it's such a wonderful thing because I love working. Like, I'd rather work than sit at home and do nothing. But now you have the privilege to be able to work for a king that actually wants you to partake of his kingdom that is heavenly. And it's just so great that we can, that he's given us the opportunity to believe that. Anyways, that's what I was thinking about today.
Amen. Amen. Debbie, did you have something?
Yes. I just thought that was also very so good to hear. I'm glad that you read all that. And what it did in me is like I didn't feel this like what you mentioned, Benjamin. I didn't feel a thing of a oh, but I'm not quite making that. I'm not there. I'm not there. It just gave me such an expectation. Something inside just rose up in a real expectation of and revelation of wow, yes. And with these things, most of us, I think, have known all of this. We know what the word says about who Jesus is in us, who he should be in us, and what he really is in us. We're just not letting him out. And it's that maybe that we believe it, but it's that stepping out in faith and believing, laying the hands on that person and knowing that the same power in us that raised Christ from the dead will heal that person or raise them up or get them up walking or whatever. And I was just so excited and I don't want that to go away. I just want, I just think that things going on in our lives that want to encumber us, and they do put pressure on us, and our minds think on it and dwell on them, and that just kind of wants to take all that away. To everything that we know we have in him, we center on more on the things in our life that's going on, and forgetting that Jesus is all power. His power in us is going to, and faith in him is going to, help us in all these areas of our lives. And if we just have that, if I just settle on that and believe that and confess only that, I would have my mind freed and my spirit freed and my faith freed to be all that he says he is in me. So what a powerhouse we're going to be someday, all of us on this earth when we start walking in this. And I know that we can do it even now. Start doing it. But it just puts
Amen.
such a whoa, I just had my arms raised here and just listen. Hey, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I couldn't stop speaking in tongues when you're reading all that. It was amazing. And I just, I repent to the Lord for just God, for I don't want to slap you in the face with you not being what you want me to be, what we can be, what we really are, but we're not seeing it. We believe it, but we're not seeing it ourselves because we're just too much of the world, too much of the world, things going on and things in our lives, too much of the world quenches that. And so Lord, I want to just lay all the things of the world down, Lord God, all the problems and things that we see going on, that we think on and talk about, Lord, and it says take our attention off of who you are in us, Lord, and who you are in me, Lord. And I just pray you help us, oh God, be really excited, God, to be that Jesus walking around here, walking in the stores, oh God, and being bold to speak your word to people. And I just thank you, Father, I just thank you for your power in us, Lord. And give us all that expectation, Lord, and that hope and that realization of seeing us in that light, seeing that you in us, Lord, that we do walk in those steps, walk as you walked, the very way you walked, Lord. I pray, Lord God, and I thank you that you work in each of us to do this, Lord. I just thank you and praise you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So.
Amen. Yeah. Somebody getting fired up. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So
Ben, did
we're.
you want to add something? Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Well, Debbie was kind of bringing up the whole repentance thing, and we have to repent of not thinking that we have that potential of being this this being with God, being with Jesus Christ, because sometimes we can forget, we get a little distracted, and we can do all those things. And a lot of people think that repentance is like, oh, I need to be repentant of this sinful nature that I have. And that's not necessarily wrong, but like,
Yeah, it's wrong.
yeah, for sure. It's 100% wrong of the having the sinful nature, but everyone always tries to be like, oh, it's sin that's wrong. And but then like sometimes it's like they don't take that next step of you are seated in the right hand of the Father. And you really got to think that. You really got to step out of the box of just being free of moral sin, but being free from mortality, that your life is now everlasting, and that you are now seated with the Heavenly Father, and you can ask Him anything that you want, and He'll give it to you, just as long as
Amen.
you walk and believe it. And it's just that's the next step from repentance of moral sin, I would say. I don't know. Someone can rebuttal if.
Well, it's all fixed to come out. I guarantee you. If you understand, we've got the power of the universe living inside of us. That's what we need to understand. And he is here for our advantage. He's the one who transforms into extraordinary people, as we talked about a while ago. He empowers us to rise above temptation and to love when it's hard to love somebody. Anybody ever run across somebody that it was hard to love? Yeah, we all have probably at some point in time, but he gives it to us. The Holy Spirit in us is the voice of victory, the revealer of truth, the counselor of wisdom, and the teacher of divine mysteries. And the more you listen, the clearer he becomes. The more you obey, the stronger his leading grows. He's not just a part of your Christian experience, he's the very breath of your spiritual life. And faith is the key that unlocks the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Did you know that the Spirit's not moved by emotions? You can sit, throw snot all day long, crying and begging God. The Spirit is not moved by emotions, or feelings or outward effort. He responds to what? Ben said it a while ago, faith. That's what he responds to. Power does not flow because you struggle or cry or beg. Power flows when you believe and act on what God has already said. Because the Spirit of God lives in you, but it's your faith that activates His power. The Spirit of God lives in you, but it's your faith that activates His power. I can say that 15 times. I need to probably. Many believers are filled with the Holy Spirit, but they live powerless lives because they don't release what they carry. They wait for a sign or a feeling when God is waiting for their boldness and confidence in His Word, trusting Him to fulfill what you want. Faith, just like Ben was talking about just a few minutes ago, faith is not hoping something will happen, it is knowing that it already has. Faith is not hoping something will happen. It's knowing that it already has. It's standing on the unshakable truth of God's word, regardless of what your senses or circumstances say. When you speak in faith, heaven moves. When you act in faith, power is released. And faith is not a mystery. It is a decision to trust what God says above everything else. It's declaring, I believe the Spirit of God lives in me. I believe His power is working in me. I believe I have what He says I have, and I can do what He says I can do. Glory to God. And that's anything your faith will allow you to do. The Holy Spirit's power is always present. It's always there in the life of a believer. But it's not automatically manifest. It has to be released. And that release happens through your words, your obedience, and your willingness to act on the word of God without hesitation. I'm going to say that again. That release happens through your words, your obedience, and your willingness to act on the word of God without hesitation. It's one thing to believe in the power of God in theory. It's another to lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover. And it's one thing to say, God lives in you. And it's another to speak to a storm, to command peace, to rebuke fear, or to cast out demons in his name. This is the boldness faith brings. Faith speaks before it sees. It declares the end from the beginning. It agrees with what God has already said and refuses to back down. That's how the power is released right there. Not through trying to feel it, but through acting like it's already real, because it is. That woman with the issue of blood didn't wait for Jesus to call her name. She said within herself, if I can touch him, I'll be healed. She acted on that inner conviction and touched him by faith, and power flowed out of him into her. Jesus did not initiate that moment. Her faith did. The power was present, but it was her faith that made a demand on it. You don't need to feel powerful to be powerful. You don't need to see evidence before you speak. Faith creates the evidence. The Holy Spirit in you is waiting not to come from heaven, but to be activated by your confidence in His Word. And when you act like the Word is true, the power goes to work. When you pray, don't pray like a beggar. Pray like a son or daughter who knows their father and knows their rights. And when you speak, don't speak hoping something might happen. Speak knowing that heaven is backing your words because your words agree with God's words. Faith refuses to be silent. Faith refuses to retreat. And faith sees the invisible, believes the impossible, and receives the supernatural. Glory to God. Whoo! Somebody ought to shout. My gracious sakes alive. Every victory in your life will come through faith, not because God suddenly moves, but because you step into what He already made available. The power is there. The Spirit is in you. And the only thing left is for you to believe, declare, and act. Your faith is not weak if it's grounded in the Word. Even mustard seed faith moves a mountain when it's connected to the God who lives in you. So we need to release that power today, not by force, but by faith. One of the greatest hindrances to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is the mindset of constantly asking for what has already been given. Let me say that again. One of the greatest hindrances to walking in the power of the Holy Spirit is the mindset of constantly asking for what's already been given. Too many believers spend their lives begging God for strength, power, healing, wisdom, and victory, not realizing that all of these have already been deposited within them through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay, Pat, I'm at a good place to stop.
So I was just thinking that it be before the action that releases the power of the Holy Spirit to for some particular, action work. Before that, there is no there's nothing that indicates that it's going to happen except what you believe, except believing. When we're believing that something needs to take place to either motivate me or give me an indication, that, this is the right step, or something like that. It's like that, we're waiting for a sign, I guess you might say. And we're not going to get a sign when those things are to happen. We have to anchor down on the fact that we have the word, that the word has already been given, it's already been said, it's already been promised, or it's already, they that believe shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's already been said. The only thing left is the action, is believing that, believing what it says, and acting upon it. And that seems to be where the hang up is. That's where the hesitation is, where the doubt is, or where the am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right step? Am I, sensing the spirit correctly, or whatever? I know that when I've experienced these things where the Lord does something, he will back me up, I guess you might say, when I step out in that action of faith. It's always been a time when, up to that point, there's a certain sense of fear or anxiety of, if I step out, will I look like a fool? Or I'm stepping out here and I don't see the I don't feel the everlasting arms of the Lord Jesus under me here. It's like I'm stepping out there, God always provides in that time, but it's always seems fearful up to that point. And I think that sense of, fear or anxiety or, uncomfortableness or whatever it is, if we don't overcome that and push through it to get to the other side of it, I think we can get hung up there. And I say this to myself, we get hung up, I get hung up there in that place and hesitate and then procrastinate. Well, the spirit wasn't, it wasn't right at that time, or whatever. You come up with a whole bunch of, many different justifications and excuses. So I think I'm pointing to myself here, because that's really a place where I am weak in just jump, knowing something that I have to do, knowing that there's a step of obedience here, but being fearful to actually take that step. So And that is where the Holy Spirit is at, right on the other side of that fear, you know? That's where the power, and that's where the fulfillment of that walk of faith is at, right on the other side of that fear. So anyway, I'm just saying. So that's it.
Amen. Amen. Well, each of our lives is meant to demonstrate the supernatural. We do that through faith and the Holy Spirit, because the resurrection is already finished. The Holy Spirit has already come. He has come to stay. And a lot of times, instead of praying, God, please give me power, we need to declare the power of God is already in me. It's already here. Praise God. I don't have to beg him for it. It's already here. All I got to do is utilize it. And instead of pleading, Lord, send your spirit, we ought to be saying, the Spirit of God lives in me. Praise God. And that shift that we have from begging to declaring, from asking to affirming, is the line that separates powerless religion from victorious living. It ain't arrogance. It's agreement with God's word. It's not pride, it's faith. Because God is pleased when we believe him. He's honored when we walk in what he's already provided. Declarations of faith activate the reality of what already exists in the spirit realm. And they bring these invisible truths that we know about into visible manifestation. And when you say, I have the mind of Christ, even when confusion tries to cloud your thinking, you ain't lying. What you're doing, you're aligning with the truth of the word. And when you say, by his stripes I am healed, you're not ignoring symptoms. What you're doing is enforcing your covenant right by confession. And when you say, the Holy Spirit empowers me, you're not waiting to feel goosebumps. You're responding to the eternal truth of God's word. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. Remember that one? That's in Proverbs 21. Words carry spiritual weight. When you continually declare, I'm sorry, what you continually declare is what you come to believe. And what you believe determines how you live. If you speak negative all the time, guess what? You're going to live a miserable life. If you constantly confess weakness, lack, and defeat, you train your heart to expect those things. But if you declare what the Word of God says, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am more than a conqueror. The greater one lives in me. Your faith grows and your experience begins to align with your declaration. Now, declarations don't manipulate God. They position you to receive what he's already freely given. They're not tools to force his hand. They're acts of agreement with his promises. And as long as you keep asking for what you already have, you're going to live in spiritual frustration. But the moment you start declaring what is already true, you're going to start seeing a shift. Your prayers become bold. Your worship becomes powerful. Your life becomes a testimony of the spirit within. And this is the life God intended for you, not one of lack and struggle, but of fullness and authority. You don't need to chase the anointing. You are anointed. You don't need to search for the presence of God. You carry his presence. Stop asking and start declaring. Speak as one who knows the truth, walks in the truth, and lives from the truth. The Holy Spirit is in you, and his power is ready. Release it with your words. You were never created just to believe quietly or exist in spiritual theory. You were born to demonstrate the power of God to everybody out there. The Holy Spirit didn't come to dwell in you merely so you could attend church, sing songs, and live a morally good life. He came so that we could reveal the very life of Jesus to the world through visible, undeniable, supernatural evidence. That's how you start revivals. You're not a spectator in the kingdom. You are a vessel of God's glory. You're not a religious observer. You are an authorized agent of the supernatural. And you carry within you a power that is meant to be seen, heard, and felt. Too many believers out there have been taught to shut up and be passive in their faith, reducing Christianity to a list of rules and quiet prayers. But Jesus didn't come preaching silence. He came preaching the kingdom of God, and then he demonstrated it. The blind saw, the deaf heard, the lame walked, and the oppressed were set free. Glory to God. And Jesus was not content to merely speak about spiritual things. He made them tangible. That same spirit that empowered him now lives in you. Not a lesser spirit, not a portion. The very same spirit. The word says the world is eagerly waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Not the quiet hiding of sons, not the secret faith of sons, but the manifestation, the public display, the undeniable evidence of who God's children really are. And the time for hiding is over. The time for shrinking back in fear or self-doubt is finished. Because we were created to demonstrate God's love, God's power, God's wisdom, and God's righteousness in a way that causes people to take notice and glorify Him. Folks, the book of Acts is not a history book, it's a blueprint. It's the record of ordinary men and women filled with the Holy Spirit, turning cities upside down, healing the sick, casting out demons, raising the dead, and boldly declaring the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Whoo, glory to God. They didn't wait until they were perfect. They didn't hide behind theology or fear of failure. They simply believed that what Jesus told them was true, and they acted on it. And that same calling is on our life. The Holy Spirit did not enter us just to make us feel good or whisper encouraging thoughts. He came to empower us for impact. He came to fill us with boldness. He came to anoint our hands, our words, and our presence. Because we were born to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We were born to speak truth and watch chains break off of people's lives. Set them free, Lord. We were born to stand in dark places and release the light of heaven. And this ain't about being a preacher or standing on a platform. It's about being a vessel of demonstration wherever you are, at home, at work, in your community. The Holy Spirit doesn't need a microphone. He needs a willing heart. He doesn't wait for a stage. He responds to faith. Your daily life is the platform, and your obedience is the open door for His power to flow. And if the Spirit of God lives in you, then supernatural living is your birthright. You don't need to wait for permission to step out. You've already been commissioned by Christ. You don't need to beg for power. You've already received it. And what remains is your choice to demonstrate it. Let your life preach the gospel. Let your actions speak louder than your words. Let the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit operate through you, not just occasionally, but daily. The kingdom of God is not in word only, it's in power. You are a living temple of that power. You carry a presence that demands expression. And God is looking for those who will not only believe, but will demonstrate. And let that be our life. Let that be our legacy. And let our walk reveal the Spirit that lives within us. Well, Lord God, we're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us, making us strong and unshakable. We have supernatural ability because the Holy Spirit empowers us. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. And I'll walk in divine strength, for the Holy Spirit is our source. The power of the Holy Spirit flows through us, enabling us to do the impossible. We are anointed to heal, deliver, and set the captives free. And we carry God's power within us, and we release it into our world. And the Holy Spirit gives us boldness to speak and act in faith. I am a vessel of God's power, and I manifest His glory everywhere I go. Glory be to God. Whew, I could go a lot more, but I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Jesus. All right. I hope somebody got encouraged by that. Amen. I did too. I love it. I love speaking about what God has put in me. Not only do I love it, it gives me the encouragement to go out and do something with it. Praise God. Because I know now, I've always known it, but we just never put it into action. Now it's time to do that. And we don't need a leading of the Holy Spirit. Christ already told us what to do a couple of times. Yeah, Julie.
Just everything you read, Michael. When we pray, when we declare those things over ourselves, we speak it out of our mouths into the spirit realm. It's edifying to, well, for me, it's edifying my spirit, man. It's like praying in tongues. It's to build. It builds you up when you declare all those things. It makes you. That's how I feel when I start. When I speak what God says about me, who He says that I am, what I can do, what He's given to me, all the benefits, all the promises, all that kind of stuff, it edifies myself, when I speak it out. And I know the devil hates it when I do it, because as we declare those things and we proclaim those things, God's going to manifest those things. That's what, I remember David's, I can't remember. You've said it too, but you and David both have said it's like, when you confess those things, it's confession unto salvation. So He's going to manifest it. We just got to lay hold of life eternal. I put that in the chat earlier. Fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold of life eternal. That's what we're doing. We're laying hold of life eternal. Praise God. It's all Jesus. It's all Christ. I can't do it. It's Christ in me because I don't live anymore. The old Julie's gone. It's Christ who's, we are all the Word made flesh. That's I speak that over to myself. I'm the Word made flesh. It's Christ in me. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So it's like
Amen.
edifying yourself when you speak those things. Praise the Lord.
Well, I guarantee you, if we start doing them, you'll see miracles. You'll see miracles after miracles in yourself, in your family, in the people around you, wherever. It's believing that God, it's trusting God. Is that not right? It's trusting that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. Anyone else? Yeah, Debbie.
I like what you read, but it's probably too far back for you maybe to find it. We don't confess to manipulate.
No. No, we confess. You know what?
Venice.
How many of you remember
I feel
quantum faith?
good. Pardon?
Yeah, quantum
What was
faith.
that you
It's the
said?
same thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Confessing is putting things to work, putting God to work.
Yeah, amen.
If it's healing you're wanting, you confess it every day, all day long, if you need to. Praise God. It's wonderful to listen to something like that, and it edifies you. It edifies your spirit, man, and it brings you to a point to where you want the Holy Spirit. You want to talk to the Holy Spirit. You want to be able to hear the Holy Spirit. The way you do that is by faith. And just start doing it. Did you have something, Pat? Okay, I thought you was. I know we've gone through things like this before. The thing that God wants us to do is start putting things into action. We're coming into a time where He wants us to start trusting Him and what His Word says. And when we do that, we're going to see a lot of good stuff, a lot of good stuff. And when you pray for somebody, don't just leave it right there. Keep on believing it. Keep on believing. Thank you, Lord, they're healed. Thank you, Lord, they're healed. Thank you, Lord, those dogs is coming back. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that Ben's already got a house lined up for him. Thank you, Lord, that Andrew and Ben's going to have a good time together. Thank you, Lord, that Nick's going home and get him a good night's supper. Amen, Nick.
Amen.
All right, brother. Thank you, Lord.
I have one prayer request.
All right, what is it?
I have some pain in my knee.
You got what on your knee?
A pain. I got like pain in my leg.
Oh, you got a pain in it?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready to get rid of it?
Yes.
In the name of Jesus right now, we command that pain to leave Nick's knee right now in Jesus' name. Pain, go. In the name of Jesus. You don't have any other recourse now. We have spoken the word. You're not allowed in his knee, so go. Now, Nick, you be whole and be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Everybody believe it? Amen. Nick, you're healed, brother. Thank you, Lord. You're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Having a good time here.
You got to get out of the hood. Do your happy dance, Nick. Julie says, do your happy dance, Nick. Amen. All right. Anybody else got something? Andrew, what did you think about all of that? About the rest? Okay.
Andrew, are you talking to us?
I don't think so. I think he's mad.
No, I was just, I just wanted to, you know, that I think we talked about everything but rest and peace and stuff, you know, and of course it's within the understanding of the word, what you're saying. And if you're going to rest, because we're supposed to, because it's the seventh millennium now, and we're going to have 7 years, kind of like a double rest there, and of course it's a spirit witness and a water witness and a blood witness, and just where is this witness? Okay, come on. We're going to have to rest in this witness that we have living inside of us. And,
amen.
And, you know, in him we live, move, and have our being. What he is active in us. He pursues who do we walk in anyway? You know, if you're going to walk in the light, you know, what is that light? You know, there's a candlestick mentioned in the book of Revelation, and there's a light, seven lights there. What do we really, you know, one of those lights is what Paul said to Timothy. And thou, my child, be strengthened in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. He wasn't a child. He was a full-grown man. He's the next apostle coming up, you know. And not that I'm trying to put Paul in a position here, or even Timothy, or anyone for that matter, because there's only three that you can put in that position. And they all reside in you because you were called to it, you know, in the name. The name, the name, the name, you know, and just go back to your baptism. The baptism, I think, is a powerful thing. You're baptized into the name. You know, it's not who did it for you or why you might have even done it more than once. It's in his name. You're in his name. Rejoice that your names are written in the heavens. And I need a lot of encouragement, because of the people you meet. You can even just go out and walk on the street and you can get discouraged, so you got to have encouragement. The apostles, you know, they were once in a place where they shouldn't be, where they were discouraged. They were in need of someone to come along there. Titus came along, you know. Titus came along, and this is what's going on here. You see, people are encouraging us in the word and in who we are, you know. And I want to, it kind of tickles you on the inside just a little bit. I'm not saying I'm feeling something. I'm saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. And you find you're saying the saying, yeah, that's true for everything that was said, you know. And I even wrote some down, you know. And the Lord, you know, I read today on how that's that chapter in the book of Acts on how the apostle was, I think it's 17, where they're being led by the Spirit of Christ, and they're being led by the Holy Spirit. It's there, you know, and it's like it's that portion of scripture where, you know, they just came through something and they're going on into the next city, into Philippi there. They didn't know where to go, you know. And they got a vision where to go, you know. You get a vision on what some people get visions of warnings that might happen in the future, you know. And, you know, the Lord gives you answers, too, to your vision. You know, he'll show you. Just lately, I got a vision about it was just a doctor. And then I went, well, I know what it says in 18:23 and 24 about pharmakia. And then the next day I was on YouTube after I did my study, and it was a YouTube documentary on all these things they did to people, you know, like they did secret tests on people. And I'm going, what? And then while I was looking at this video, I suddenly remembered another video where, well, there was this 12-year-old girl, and they were convincing her that she wasn't a girl, and they did some things to her and pumped her up with chemicals. And now, 8 years later, she's 20, and she wants to be a woman again. And those people convinced a 12-year-old to do something very silly, you go, is that where we are now? And so, oh well, he warns me about these people in universities who are a lot smarter than I am, but come on, that's some science guy that told her to do that, and convinced her, and that's also all these secret tests they did on it. I didn't even know they did these things, and it was during the time when I was alive, even here in Canada, they did some pretty nasty things on secretly, what they put in the people's food even. And this was a an answer to the vision before, and I'm just going, wow, people respect these people too, because they're science and they're doctors. Well, anyway, that's the something the Lord was working on me. And of course, there were other things, where you're warned about in your dreams and visions. I don't know if these are dreams or visions, because they don't last very long. And it's usually when I'm asleep at night. And you could be warned about maybe something that might happen in the future. And you just have to be ready for it, because the Lord warned you. And but I want to go out and serve the Lord. I want the Lord to use. I want that those graces upon me, the Spirit of God's grace. Not I know that I can't be commending myself if the apostle can't commend himself, and if the apostle is not sufficient on himself, then it has to be done through the Lord. All of it does. I remember being a young Christian, and it just used to come really so naturally for you. And I'm kind of looking forward to even more of experience than what I used to have, and I seem to be in a dry area now, and it's been a long time this way. I'm having to wait for instruction from the Lord, and he will do what needs to be done for me. We have to walk in those lights. If you know how to walk in some of them real easy, you should be able to walk in the fear of the Lord very easily, and some good judgment, which is wisdom. But it's walking in that one light. I don't know, there's seven strength, walking in the strength of the Lord. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have those lights are all mentioned in Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. There's seven lights there. You're a child of light. You're not a child of darkness. I know a lot of people don't think of reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 as an end time prophecy, but it is. It's always who's the light guy and who's the darkness guy there. And they'd be crying, peace, peace, and sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they don't know the meaning of peace. The two are made one. You're one. The two are made one, thus making peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by that faith, we have access unto his grace. And that grace is attached to Jesus, and it's attached to you, and it's the strength we have. What's good enough for Timothy and Paul is good enough for all of us. And you know, because I just finished where Paul said, if I come upon you and I don't see what I'm supposed to see from you in the last few verses, and you don't see from me what you think I'm supposed to be like, you know, well, what do you, you're going to cause mourning to happen, you know. They tried to make a church out of Paul, you know. The church of Paul, you know, that's how Corinthians began. And here in the book of Acts, you know, they were trying to make, you know, chapter 12 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the last two verses there, you know, he was telling the people, if I come upon you and I don't see you as I'm supposed to see you, and you don't see me as you would expect to see me, and then will come mourning. You know, we don't want mourning. We don't want that behavior on those last two verses there. We want the positive side of what it says there. And we, you know, Paul is humbling himself there, you know. You don't want to make a church out of Paul. You don't want to make a church out of Peter. You don't want to make a church out of any living soul or man. Because they don't want you to, because that might happen in that verse there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 at the bottom there. And this ain't David Eales' ministry or Michael Harris. It's the Lord's. It's God's. It's Jesus's, and it's the Holy Spirit's, and we are in that spot that we're supposed to be, and we are increasing, because that's the only place we can go. Praise God and glory to God, and in Him we live, move, and have our being. Is God's word not a consuming fire? Is it not living? Is the word of God active? And fire, you know, it's got seven lights on it. I'm telling you now. So you're, and you walk in this, you know, the verses that actually tell you in 2 Corinthians 6 and 16 that God's in there. You know, it says, for what agreement hath God sanctuary with idols? And then you know the rest. Know ye not that you're the sanctuary of God? And God saith that. He's even saying what he said. He's giving you a double reminder in that verse. And God saith that. I will dwell in them and walk. And all those seven ones in Ephesians, you know, where it says, one God and Father who's over all, in all, and through all. So it's coming right out of you. And he's waiting for us, I think. And at the same time, he's prepping everything to have it happen when it's supposed to happen, on how it's supposed to happen, of which we know of. So praise, glory to God. I need encouragement. When people come around and discourage a person, they whip you with their tongues. You get a good tongue lashing from them. Or when you're feeling down in the dumps, when you ask the Lord three times, even Paul asked three times to get rid of this, you know, what did he say? He gave the same advice that Paul gave to Timothy about the grace. Okay, so get away from what you're supposed to get away from, and let the Lord grace in you to build you up, to be strengthened. And I pray this, and it's true. This is what he constantly wants to do. You can talk to him about it. Pretend he's sitting in that chair over there. Talk to him about it. He'll answer you. I want more. And I'll want more because I'm fighting tiredness. You know, I'm kind of feeling like I'm in that mystic land there, in the and I'm weary, and I gotta have a conversation with someone. You know, speaking about Pilgrim's Progress there, you're in that misty land, and it's Christian talking to Hopeful, and they're bouncing off of each other, and now they're gonna be able to continue on their journey. That's why when you have two is you're strengthened in the Lord, and you're both in agreement on something with good conversation. All glory and honor to God the Father. I will in no wise want to commend myself or be sufficient of myself. The Lord is my sufficiency. The Lord is the commendation. I don't know. I used to think of it as a medal. You know, they used to give people a medal of commendation. Well, you know, you got a breastplate on, so and you put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one who works through you. And it's been a long time, you know, and the Lord is going to do it. He's going to do it because we're asking him to do it. There's a verse there that I heard a few times. It's right here. It's Ezekiel 36:37. To do it for them. You know, thus saith the Lord God. For this, moreover, will I be inquired by the house of Israel. He builds you the house, you know, and if any love me, he'll keep my word. You know, he's building it. I go to prepare a place for you. And now I will be inquired by the house of Israel. And we are, according to Romans chapter 11 and Ephesians 6:15 and 16, the Israel of God among the nations, you know, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. So we ask that petition to do it for them. And I will increase them with men as a flock. You know, so be increased. Praise and glory to God. Now I'm getting all.
Go ahead, Pat.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
So I sense that I've been sitting it in myself in the past month that the Lord is getting ready to release me inside, an inner release, because he has been showing me the bonds or the cords that have been spiritually restraining me from within. And as I listened to us talking and praying tonight, I sense that this release is coming to all of us, and all of us
that are listening, not right even in this room, but in that may be listening, out there in, maybe to these tapes or whatever. But the Lord is, so I'm just going to pray for that release, but I'm also going to pray for the wisdom for each of us in our circumstances to be able to see the cords, to see the bonds or the restraints that are holding us back from being released, because I believe it is significant, and it is also important that when the Lord does release, we know exactly what we have been released of. I don't know if that's making sense or anything, but I'm just going to pray anyway. Father, I thank you for opening up our eyes, giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And I thank you, Lord, that and I'm asking that you would give wisdom to each and everyone hearing this, and each and every one of us in the room here, that you would give us wisdom to see this, either the spirits or the bondages of words or the bondages that have restrained our life from being free and being able to release your life and your love, your works within us, and reveal the life that you want revealed in this world and earth. Lord, I thank you for it. These bonds that are on us right now, in the name of Jesus, I break them, I bind them. I cast them down and agree with you, Lord, that we are released. We are released to allow you to live freely and unrestrained through our lives for the demonstration of your life to all around us. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit in confidence and in truth. And just thank you for bringing forth the Word of God through us and in us and revealing your life. We just thank you for it. We thank you for the grace to walk and the grace to just to yield ourselves and receive you and give out what we have received in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory be to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else?
Michael, who are you reading from tonight?
Oh, well, I know
Kenyon?
somebody. Yeah, I think so, but I'm not real sure. I think it is. It's an old file that I had in my vault. And it wasn't named, but it sounds like Kenyon.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's very encouraging. It was to me, and I wanted to encourage everybody here also. It's something we know, but we have to be reminded a lot of times in order to get it down in our spirit to understand that we have Christ living in us. We have the Holy Spirit living. The Holy Spirit has the power of the resurrection power of Christ in him. Glory to God. That's whew. Yeah, and I'll tell you something else that we need to do. And Julie, I'll get right back to you. is to believe for ourselves for healing. Okay, Julie, go ahead.
I was going to ask if it's something that's in your vault. Is it something you can share with us in a Word document or a PDF document? Is it something that you have electronically that you can email to everybody?
Yeah, I've got it electronically. I think you'll need to wait until you hear my Bible study tomorrow because it even goes deeper than that. I took
Ooh,
it and
okay.
did some stuff to it, and it's going to be an hour of good stuff.
All right. We'll be all
It
tuned
won't
in. Thank you
encourage me.
for the heads up.
Yeah.
That's what they call a teaser.
Yeah, I think you'll be encouraged by it also. And Debbie's going to get to hear this same thing tomorrow when we go to the book study. We're going to talk about it tomorrow also. Anybody else? I'll tell you what, the first time that I read that, man, I got it. I'm still excited over it. Still excited. Because sometimes we forget that God lives in us. For goodness sake. I don't need somebody praying for me. I like it sometimes, but I don't need anybody praying for me. Glory to God, because God lives in me. And all I got to do is access Him, which ain't hard, and just tell the devil, devil, you know who you're fooling with? I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and if He's living inside of me, there ain't enough room for you. You got to go in Jesus' name. My sinuses are healed, my ears are healed, my hearing's healed. Everything that the devil has tried to steal from me, bless God, you better give it back now. And then you can take your minions, and get out of here. And that's what we ought to do all the time. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm healed. And devil, you gone. You are gone. You are gone. You are gone. You are gone. And I thank you, Lord, that we don't have any lack here either. Our provisions are abundantly above anything that we can think or ask or think about in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for all that money that's already on the way. And I thank you, Lord, that Nick is healed too. He is healed. He'll be able to dance a jig, do the two-step, or what he wants to do because he's there. You go. Look at him. He's already practicing. Praise God. Go ahead, Nick. You got your hand up.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray for safe travels for
Okay.
tomorrow. We're
Where
leaving
you
tomorrow.
headed?
We're going down to Gulf Shores, Alabama tomorrow. So,
Oh, you're going down to
wow.
God's country. You're coming south. Oh, I see how you Yankees are. Y'all got to come out that cold weather up there, don't you? Well, y'all have it. Yeah, go ahead and pray, brother. We'll believe with you.
Dearly Valerie, just pray for safe travels tomorrow for there and back, and hopefully you'll have a good time in Jesus' name, amen.
No, I'm just going to believe you're going to have a wonderful time in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that Nick's going to
And
have a good time swimming out there. Ain't going to be no sharks messing with him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the shield of protection that you've already put around him and his family in Jesus' name.
we might
Amen.
come visit you too, actually, on the way back.
Boy, that'd be awesome. Well, let us know and we'll try to get up a party. Yeah, that's a warning. We're probably going to be gone when y'all come back, too. No, I'm just kidding you, Nick. That'd be great, man, if y'all do that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
When are you coming back?
We're coming back November.
Leaving Monday from Alabama.
We're leaving Monday from Alabama.
Leaving Monday from
Monday
out.
what? Monday what?
Monday,
The
the
second.
third.
Monday the 3rd.
The
We're
third.
driving to Atlanta. We're driving to Atlanta, and then from there,
Take Anju to
we
the
have to
airport.
take my daughter to the airport because she's going out to India.
Your
Okay.
daughter? Your
Yeah.
daughter, Nick? Okay.
It's
Your
my daughter.
sister. My mom's daughter. My mom's daughter.
Well, I started to say, now, when did you get hitched up,
Oh,
buddy?
I gotta clarify
My
that.
sister, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. So, Atlanta's what, about 2 or 3 hours away is all it is.
Yeah.
I forget how much, I hadn't been there, but I know it's not very far. Yeah,
Yeah,
let
hopefully we
them
can just drop her off at Atlanta and head straight up there and be there Monday before you guys have your meeting. Hopefully, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
know. Okay.
Lord will
Well,
just
that'd be great.
put the wind behind our backs and get us there quickly.
Amen. Amen. That'd be good. Is it just you and
It'd
Nick,
be
or
good
is
to
it?
see everybody again.
Amen. Well, it's gonna be good to see y'all too.
Nick, is your dad coming down too?
No.
Okay, just you and your mom.
Just me, my mom, and my sister.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll be glad to have you.
Yep.
We'll be glad to have you. Y'all can stay here if you want to. No, you can't either. No, we're having problems with our water right now.
Oh.
We'll find you someplace.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Y'all be blessed.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Thursday night we're gonna, just a minute.